that same Lord and Christ whom you've crucified, our Lord. And he stood up with power and authority. They couldn't combat him with their words. He said it. The one that you crucified is the Lord. So we ought to call him owner. And we ought to call him father. And be obedient sons and daughters. For he's our only hope. And he's our only help. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in times of trouble. Even though the earth depart and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters rage with the swelling thereof, there is a stream whereof that makes glad the city of God, the holy place of Israel. Oh, this is good. The holy place. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. And God will help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord and see what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear asunder. And he burns the chariot in the fire. And then you know what he says to us? In all the craziness, he says, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathens. Yes, I will be exalted among the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Our refuge. Jesus is Lord. Are you catching on that Jesus is Lord? He is Lord. He came down the stairway of heaven. That's so cool. He was born in Bethlehem, hid in Egypt, brought up in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan. He performed miracles by the roadside and made no charges for his service. Oh, he healed multitudes without medicine. How cool. He took your sins and mine. And he went out on Calvary and there died. And while hanging up on that cross, Jesus said several things. But when the thief on the left, I'll say the left because the thief on the right was the right thief. He knew Jesus. Get it? He was right. So the one on the left, he was left, unfortunately. But when the thief on the left said, hey, if you be the Christ, why don't you come up off of that cross and save yourself and us? But to that taunt, Jesus never said a mumbling word. He said, no, he didn't say a word. But the silence seemed to say, you just wait until Sunday morning and I'll show you that it's better to come up off out of the grave than it is to come down from the cross. Yeah, it is better to come up out of a grave than it is to come down from the cross. Because when he came up out of that grave, you know who was saved? All of us. All of us. He came up out of that grave. It is Resurrection Sunday. He came up out of that grave and we are saved. And it's not a coincidence that the name Jesus rhymes with freeze us, because he frees us and his name is Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? When he was buried in that borrowed tomb, I used to think, man, that's crazy. Here's the king of the universe. And in my note, I got to share this because this is really cool. The king of the universe, who, with a gesture of his hands, the worlds were formed. Who scooped up the seas with the palm of his hand. Who dug deep the gorges and piled up the hills and propped up the mountains by his will. The moon and the stars lean on his arms. Being buried in a borrowed tomb? Come on. But you know what's cool? He didn't stay there long. That's okay. He could stay in a borrowed tomb. He was just visiting for a couple of nights. And he went down to that grave long enough to clean it out and make it a pleasant place to stay until he rose again. And guess what? I've already said it, and I mean it. He rose again. That's what we celebrate today. Resurrection Sunday. A God that said he would and did it. And we've not heard that from any other gods, any other people that have claimed to be gods, I should say, in the history of the world. You see, Buddha, he's dead. And he's still dead. Yeah. All those Hindu gods, they weren't even alive. The blue guy with all the arms, they never even existed. They're dead. The elephant with the thing on his head, and I think his name's Ganesh. Oh, he's dead. He's never even lived. But Jesus, he lived. And you know what? He is so awesome that he's given us tidbits and glimpses of how real and how good he is. When we read the word, we can see from beginning to end that he was and is and always will be. That his sacrifice was written, is written, and his sacrifice paid the price for us now. We get to have freedom. And remember, I said it already, and I'll say it again. His name, Jesus, rhymes with frees us, because Jesus frees us, right? All right. And he frees us from what? He frees us from ourselves and the burden of sin, the weight that we carry, the shame, the backpack of rocks that we walk around with every day. He's like, no, I'll take that from you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke, it's easy, and my burden is light. That's cool. Here's my rocks. Here's my shame. Here's my sin. Here's my struggles, my anxiety. You can have it. He died to take it away from us. It's foolish of me to hold on to it then. I don't have the shoulders to bear it. But again, the one that propped up those mountains by his will, he's got the shoulders to carry it. So will we give our stuff to him? Will we surrender to him, the one that made everything, came to earth and died for us? Will we surrender to him? I hope so. Yes. Come on. All right. Jesus is Lord. Did you know his name is a synonym for free healing, friendly help, and full salvation? It's not an antonym. That's the opposite. He's a synonym for it. He brings that to us. Remember, it's not a coincidence that his name is Jesus and it rhymes with freeze us. Yes! His blessed name is like harmony to the ear. It's like honey to the heart. It's like help to the soul. The name of Jesus. There's no other name like his. The one that came out from the grave because he said he would. The one that has all power in heaven and earth given to him. The one that came for you and me because he knows us intimately. You know what's pretty neat too? Let me take a sip of my drink. All right. At his birth, men came from the east. The wise men. On their camel guineas. And at his death, men came from the west. So the east and the west met in him. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And you know what? At his name, every knee is going to bow. Yes. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee. Yes. Old knee. Every knee. Young knee. Every knee. Black knee. Every knee. White knee. Every knee. Wounded knee. Replaced knee. Amen. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. But you know what? I want to be on the right team when that happens. And I want to be on the right side when that happens. You see, every knee means every knee. One day, everyone is going to see him descend from heaven with the shout and trumpet blast of the angels. Everyone is going to see that. And even those who don't know him, even those who don't want him, even those who don't like him, but they're going to be so in awe, they're going to flop down to their knees. First, they'll be knocking. Whoa! We're all going to need him. Dad joke, sorry. We're all going to need him. So let's be on his team before that happens. So maybe you think you're too sinful. Maybe you think you've done too many bad things in life. Why would he love me? Why would he want me? Why would he receive me if I surrender and give my life to him? He doesn't know what I did in college. He doesn't know. Oh, maybe he does. He doesn't know what I was smoking back in the 70s. Oh, he knows. I wasn't alive in the 70s. Maybe some of you can relate. He doesn't know what we were drinking. Yes, he does. He made it all, and he is Lord. You know, there's nothing too bad that we could do to stop him from loving us and pursuing you. Everything that you've done, he knows, and he says, I just love you, and I came for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, I came for you. So can I tell you a story? Okay, we'll get started. You ready? Some of you have actually heard the story. I know Patrick probably has, and Lauren maybe. Maybe Phil, who knows? This story is about how bad we could be and how good God is. And I want you to relate to this in the sense that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Him, a King, a Lord to save us. A God to put our hope in. So, here's the story. I was in Cambodia. Cambodia had experienced the killing fields back from 1975 to 1982. There was the Khmer Rouge, led by Pol Pot. Weird name. Pol Pot. Sometimes I Pol Pot when it's too hot. So this guy, Pol Pot, he was a bad dude, a bad mamma jamma. You see, he wasn't listening to Glorious Sabbath, he was listening to Black Sabbath. But his mission was just, I want to take over the country and I'm going to kill you if you can read. I'll kill you if you wear glasses. I'll kill you if you have a limp. I'll kill you if you're handicapped. I'll kill you if you're overly educated. I'll just kill you if you run away from me. I'll just kill you if I'm having a bad day. So in that country, in Cambodia, back in that time, from 75 to 82, there was a lot of death. And this guy created this Khmer Rouge, the Red Regime. And they would go around and they would just do that. They would just go out and kill people. For no reason. And it made no sense. It's just pure evil. I was there in Phnom Penh on accident. I was supposed to be on a bus to Vietnam, but I got kicked off. I didn't have a visa for Vietnam, and I didn't know I needed one. So at 4:45, I get kicked off of the bus, but I have a flight leaving Ho Chi Minh City the next day, and it'll take a whole day to get there on bus. I'm like, oh no, what do I do now? And I jump out, and there's a tuk-tuk taxi driver. I say, hey! Can you take me to the embassy for Vietnam right now? You know, on the double. Here's an extra $5. And we make it, and I get into the embassy. Now, embassies, foreign embassies have protocol. You can't walk in with a t-shirt, especially not with shorts. And they really frown upon you walking in with flip-flops, even though it's a million degrees outside. You got to wear something buttoned, pants, and shoes. Well, I didn't have that. I didn't have time. I run in a few minutes before the embassy closes. Get to the counter. I need help. I got to get to Vietnam tomorrow. And he speaks to his friend. Okay, give me $60. I'll do it for you. Okay, here you go, whatever. And I walk out as they closed, and I had a visa. But now I just missed my bus. It's gone. Oh. So I asked my tuk-tuk driver, who spoke English, hey, when's the next bus leave? He said, 5 a.m. Okay, can you take me to a cheap hotel? Oh, they're all cheap, he said. Okay, take me to a nice one then. Okay. So he took me to a nice one, the Cavi guest house. And that's where the bus came at 5 a.m. in the morning. 5 a.m. So I get to the Cavi guest house. Now, there's a part of the story I will spare you from. But before that, I stopped by the killing fields, which was their big mass grave site, where there's still bones everywhere. There's still teeth in trees. There's still clothes. And it's I think it's a three-story monument of skulls. So it's a pretty heavy place. So I get to my hotel after seeing all this, and a part of the story that was important was I had staph infection. I couldn't hear out of one ear. I was coughing blood, and I was limping everywhere I went. But I was so happy because Jesus was doing great things. So I'm walking. Oh, Lord. I had my earbud or my earphones in one ear because the other ear, I couldn't hear. So I'd be listening to worship with one earphone. So I was in a bad state. I check into the guest house. And they say, okay, your room's on the fifth floor. All right, where's the elevator? No elevator. Oh, okay. Okay. I go up, and it's a room with no windows. Okay, I'm going to go back downstairs. And I get downstairs. It's dinner time. And I would normally just go out and try to find some food. But I just said, I'll sit here and eat in the hotel. And so I did. I stayed in the hotel. The one guy that checked me in was the only one working there. He also came up to me and says, okay, do you want some food? And this is a guy who spoke English well. Oh, sure. And when you're sick and wallowing in your own misery and totally uncomfortable, what do you crave? Chicken soup. And they had it. Okay, cool. And so I get chicken soup. Well, this guy, I'm the only one apparently staying in the hotel. I don't know why I'm on the fifth floor. There's nobody else there. But whatever. I'm sitting there wallowing in my misery, waiting for my soup. And he just talks to me, and he keeps talking, and he keeps talking, and talking, and talking, and talking, and more, and more, and more. I'm like, oh gosh, why doesn't he stop talking? And he brings me my soup, and he sits down at the table with me now, as I'm eating my soup, and he just keeps talking. And I'm getting frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated wallowing in your own misery when somebody's trying to be nice to you? Isn't that goofy? Why? So I'm wallowing in my misery. He's talking and talking, and I just silently pray, talk to the Lord, who is the Lord. Oh, can you just shut him up, Lord? And the Lord answered. Now, if you don't hear him speak, I hope and pray that you will start hearing him speak. Because he loves to talk to us. We're his kids. He loves to give us instruction, just like we like to do that with our kids. He loves to lead us and guide us. Oftentimes, I'm too stubborn to listen. But in that moment, he just spoke really clear, right to my heart. He said, Richard, he's the most important thing right now. Okay. Fine, Lord. Oh. So I'm eating my soup, and I'm finishing it up. And this guy keeps talking. He says, hey, can I put on the movie The Killing Fields on the TV for you to watch? Okay, that's fine. And it came out in the 80s, I believe. It's a Hollywood movie, but it's got a lot of accurate depictions of what happened during that time. So I'm sitting there. Now I'm trying to enjoy the movie, and he keeps talking. He was one of those guys. But I knew that there was something special the Lord was going to do. And he says, oh, this was worse than what they're showing you. Oh, that was worse than what that's showing. And he's narrating, kind of navigating this story to me, breaking apart the whole experience. Then I have this epiphany, a Jesus epiphany. Oh, you were there. He lived through it. It's very rare to meet an old guy in Cambodia. There's a humongous generation gap. A lot of people my age, because they were kids when all this craziness happened. But there's a massive generation of people that are not there because they were killed. It's rare to find a grandpa or a grandma in that country. Oh, so you were there, I said to him. He responded, yeah. And he opened up with some stories. He started sharing. And they were heavy stories. But then as we're sitting there, he just looks at me and he just says, we're right at a table, and it's a very small little Asian table, like the size of this thing here, but square. We're sitting there and he just leans forward and says, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I was in the Khmer Rouge. Like a Nazi soldier saying, oh, I was a Nazi. Oh, whoa. And he had a tear just come down. I just remember the moment. This, in my journal, I wrote down, was the most powerful night and experience of my life. And so I'm about to share it with you. The guy opened up. I don't know why. He says, my wife and my six kids think I'm crazy because at night I scream and I toss and I turn. He said, my wife won't sleep in bed with me. My kids think I'm crazy. They don't understand. I have so much pain. I hurt so bad. He told me when he was recruited into the Khmer Rouge at 14, he was recruited and he was made a leader over the other kids because he was taller than the other kids. They gave him a gun. And they said, okay, shoot the coconut. Okay, shoot the dog. Now shoot that lady. Why? You don't shoot her, I'll shoot you. Okay. And so he shoots a lady walking down the street. As the years go on, the experiences went on too. And he opened up and shared stuff that I've never heard in real life before. I've never seen an adult man cry where tears were coming off of his face. Just bawling, sobbing. He was, and I'm not going to go into all the details because they're really heavy. And he told me these things for 6 hours as we sat there. I was crying. He was crying. At one point, we had to drink something because we were both crying so much. But he would be at a stationary gun at these mass grave sites where they would bring women with infant children. And they would unload them by truckloads. And it was his job to steer that gun and to have his guys afterwards go around and crush the babies. It was horrible. 6 hours of hearing this guy's stories was intense, as you can imagine. He hits the table many times in our conversation, and he hits it. My heart hurts so bad. I'm such a bad man. Over and over. My bowl, which was on a plate on the table, which is now empty after 6 hours, hops off the plate. And then it falls on the table, off the table, because he's hitting the table so hard. But the moment was so intense, didn't even matter. We were just tracking with each other as he's sharing. I was brokenhearted hearing this stuff. But as he kept hitting the table saying, my heart hurts so bad, I'm such a bad man. The Lord, just in his sweet way, just says, Richard, now's your time. And I look at the guy and I say, I know the way to peace. Do you want to know? Yes! Everything flies off the table. Okay. Have you heard about Jesus? No. Do you know who God the Father is? No. Okay. Let me backpedal. I'll start with creation. I give him a quick journey through the Bible. And the reason Jesus came and died for us. He understood because in their culture, sacrificing stuff was a kind of a deal, just like it is in most other cultures. But here, he understood the value of sacrificing something. So when he understood that Jesus was a sacrifice and that he could be a new man in Jesus, I didn't even prompt the guy. I didn't lead him in a sinner's prayer or anything like that. He just hits the table and he says, Jesus, I need you in my brain. Jesus, I need you in my heart. And he starts hitting the table And for the sake of saving Mike's pulpit, I won't keep hitting it. But he was hitting that table and crying out, I need you in my brain. I need you in my heart. I'm such a bad man. I need your peace, he yelled. And he gets up from the table in his chair, just like a movie scene. His chair flings back, and he just walks out to the alley. And I'm sitting at the table. Whoa, this is awesome. And I go out to the alley. And here he is in the alley. It's now 11:30 or 12 at night. And it's past that. It's 1 in the morning. He's out there in the alley yelling as though he's trying to get his voice to penetrate the atmosphere to land in God's ear. Yelling. The same thing. I need you in my brain. I need your peace. I am such a bad man. I need you. Over and over. Not complex. Not complicated. Very simple. Just broken. Crying out. I'm watching this. And then this moment happened where you've seen the show Touched by an Angel by chance? No? Yes? Kind of a goofy show, you know, like one of the B-series shows, but it was still good because it was Christian, so he liked it. The angel would glow. Well, in the alley, there was a glow that just appeared over this guy's head. And it wasn't far above him. And it just went, and the guy was facing the opposite direction from me as he was yelling. And he stopped. Thank you! Oh. And he turns around and he looks at me. Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Richard! Thank you, Jesus! And he runs over and he hugs me for 5 minutes or more. That's a long hug. And we're sobbing together. He's crying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Over and over and over. He can't stop. Thank you, Jesus. It didn't matter how bad this guy was. Jesus came for him. Amen. His sin wasn't too great that God wouldn't love him. He came for him. And apart from the religious experience of repeating after somebody, he just went out and had his own experience. And he got met. He got filled in the Holy Spirit. Now it's like 1 or 2 in the morning, and we're standing there. He's like, what next? What now? Oh, this is awesome. And then he says, let's go to my family's house. You have to tell my wife and 6 kids about Jesus right now. Oh my gosh, okay, let's go. So we get on his motorcycle. He's the only guy that was at the hotel the whole time. Just me and him. Must have been a great place. We get on his motorcycle, tuk-tuk thing, tuk-tuk, and we just start driving. He's got a smile like from above his ears. Just, oh, we have to go! They need to know! Oh. And we drive down the block. And the enemy, our adversary, that snake, broke his chain on his motorcycle. Right there. And those who ride motorcycles know that's very uncommon. You don't break a chain. But it just spun out. Oh, and he looks. Oh, okay. He just leaves his motorcycle there. He says, tell me more. Okay. So here we are at the end of the street, just pouring out. Jesus just really loves you, and you can just go to him and whenever you want, and really simple, wasn't complicated. And this guy was getting discipled in the alley after he encountered this moment with Jesus. Finally, like, hey, I gotta go back to catch my bus. I had a couple hours to sleep at this point, and so we parted ways, but I told him, I said, I have a friend coming. He'll be here in a few weeks. I will send him to you. We will bring you a Bible. We will find you a place to worship, to go worship God together with others. I will send my friend. Kind of like what these guys say. Hey, I'll send Timothy to you. I'll send him to you. So I had to leave. I went to sleep. My phone was dead. I didn't have my charger anymore. I don't know where it went. Oh, I don't have an alarm clock. I'm wiped out. I have 2 hours. Can you wake me up, Lord? Yeah. Okay, thanks, Lord. Go to sleep, wake up, walk downstairs. No gauge for time. Right when I walk down, the bus pulls up. Oh, thank you, Lord. So I leave. And I made that flight. And then my friend, Dylan, he came a few weeks later. And Dylan, he heard the whole story. He thought, that it's like, man, I got to meet this guy. So Dylan went, first thing when he got there, went right over to meet this guy. His name is spelled R-I-T-H, but pronounced Rut. He was in a rut, but he's not anymore. That day was October 23rd. It happened to be his birthday. He turned 51 that day. So Rut was not in a rut any longer. He encountered the love of Jesus that transformed him. Dylan met him and spent time with him. Dylan called me on Skype. Remember Skype? Yeah. Dylan said, I met him. And I said, oh, how's he doing? I've never met a happier man in my life. Oh, wow. And so Rut and I would talk. We would talk from time to time. He was doing great. His family was doing great. They found a church in Phnom Penh, a Christian church. He couldn't tell people he was in the Khmer Rouge, though, because that would be bad. But the guy was so bubbling over with the joy of Jesus, nobody even noticed that. Eventually, in those countries, you get SIM cards. You just buy a SIM card for $5, and you have a little cheap phone. Eventually, he lost his phone or whatever, got a new SIM card, so we lost contact. We lost contact, actually, when Grace and I went there and wanted to go see him. Uh-oh, his phone's not working. Oh, no. Okay, well, Lord, he's yours. Brothers and sisters, my friends, Jesus died for our sins. And he rose again to show us that I have victory over death and the grave. It's lost its sting. If we don't know him, we can come to him. Doesn't matter what you've done. No matter whatever you've done, even if you've killed over 1,000 people, he still wants you. You're his. You're his. When those semi-trucks park on the side of the freeway or bridges with the big sign that says Jesus is Lord, the hope is that people would question, what does that mean? It means he can be in charge of my life. I'm willing to give over all of the weight of my life, all of my sin and the guilt. I'm willing to give up all that self-condemnation. I'm willing to surrender to you so that you can be the king, the owner, and the savior. So as we kind of wrap it up, I know the kids are probably chomping at the bit to go get some jelly bean eggs. But as we wrap it up, I'm going to pray. And in this, it's really simple. Jesus is not a complicated king. If you want him to be your Lord, all you have to do is ask. It's just so easy. Okay, you can be my Lord. You can be my king. You can be my savior. So easy. It's a free gift that he gave to each of us. And the moment we place our trust and hope in him, that we can have a life better than what we are experiencing and a life forever, eternity, like the Sandlot says, forever. We can have that life in him by simply saying, Jesus, you're Lord. You are my God. I believe that God raised you from the dead. Does that sound complicated, friends? No? Cool. So as I pray, and if you feel like you want to, you're welcome to say it as well. Jesus, you are my Lord. What else do I have but you? There's no hope in the world that I can find but you. And you're the hope I want to hold on to. If you came to save us, then I want to be saved too. Jesus, me personally, I know that you are Lord. I have seen you do wonderful things. And I know for each of us, we have seen that too. Those who profess and confess that Jesus is Lord, you know. He's done miracles in your life. You know. And for those who haven't done that, and you want to see those miracles happen in your life, it's the easiest thing. Jesus, your Lord. I believe that God raised you from the dead. We love you. We are grateful for you and what you've done for us. So today, even if it's just today, we want to surrender all of who we are to you, that you would be like glorified in us and blessed by us. But we don't want it to just be one day, Lord. We want it to be our lives. But we want you to be glorified in us. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for rising from the grave. That is so rad. Death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? It's gone through the blood of Jesus. So friends, be blessed. Know that Jesus is there to help you. Always. Amen. And if for some reason you need prayer or want prayer or desire prayer or don't even know what prayer is, hey, come on up. We could talk to Jesus together. And we've got others that'll join too. But we want you to know that you're loved. Cool? You're loved! Amen!
You stand, we'll close with a song. You need to go, you're free to go.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. Wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God, all will see how great is our God.
H to A. My heart will sing.
how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great. Happy Easter. Thanks for coming today. We'll see you next week. If you need prayer, just come up front and someone will pray with you. And have a great day. Cause you are so worthy, our Lord. You are so worthy, King of all. You are so worthy forevermore, our King.